Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my very happy co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? What's going on, man?
Hey, man. How's it going?
I'm doing okay, man. Glad to be on the show with you, as always.
Yeah, glad to be on, as usual.
All right, man. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for checking out this episode of Sports Urban Legend. Today's show, you know, we're going to be talking the Mets. There ain't no other way of saying it. You know, the Mets collapse against the Padres. You know, the Yankees currently battling the Indians. The Phillies upsetting the Braves. The Mariners getting swept by the Astros, Macaulay's favorite team. And, you know, what else is going on in the world of sports? Baseball-wise, NBA season's going to start this Wednesday night for the Knicks, I should say. Jets and Giants trying to continue their winning streak going on. You know, the latest news in wrestling, you know, highlighted by the return of Bray Wyatt, you know, cutting a promo on, you know, on SmackDown, you know, about his, you know, his day, you know, his return into the, you know, into the, you know, into the, you know, into, you know, WWE, you know, which he's been gone for over a year. So we'll talk about that. And whatever else is on our mind, you know what we do. We talk sports, entertainment, everything else. We love to hear from you. And, of course, you know that number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics or more. We definitely would love to hear from you, even if you agree or disagree with us. Oh, my goodness. Speaking of disagree, I just found out Macaulay was supposed to update me. Apparently the Indians.
Well, yeah, I was waiting for you to finish your intro.
Wow.
Yeah, we just lost 6-5 in the ninth, bottom of the ninth, and the Guardians came back and beat us. So right now they're leading this series 2-1. If the Yankees don't win tomorrow, they might be joining your Mets.
Wow.
On vacation.
Yeah, we're definitely going to talk more about this Yankee loss, but Yankee got a chance to even up the series
tomorrow.
You know, they're going to be playing golf with the Mets like they've been doing for the past couple of years, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So we shall see, but, you know, the Yankees still are in it, so we shall see.
Got Jared Cole going tomorrow, so hopefully Cole's been brilliant for us in the postseason, with the exception of that one hiccup against Boston, but hopefully we can rely on him.
Yeah, we shall see. But yeah, most importantly, let's talk about the Mets, man. This is, you know, the end of the 2002 Mets. You know, all that feel good story of the Mets. Buck Showalter's first year as the Mets, his return in New York, you know, managing New York since he got fired in 1995. Before the Jeter era officially started in New York with your boys, the Yankees. You know, the Mets, you know, they had a feel-good story. You know, they Steve Cohen in his second year, you know, went for it in the offseason, signed Max Scherzer, the guy in baseball today who I never thought in a million years. If you told me one player who I would never see wearing a Met uniform, it would have been Max Scherzer. And Steve Cohen, you know, got him to buy in, literally and figuratively speaking, you know, giving him that 3-year huge contract. It was a 1-year $40 million contract or something like that. For the most part, Scherzer pitched well, but unfortunately, this last couple of months and change, he hasn't been pitching. He didn't pitch good. Highlighted by game one of the NL wild card series against the Padres, where he didn't show up at all. Like, he gave up 4 home runs, 7 runs, and the Mets, you know, before they even sang, you know, the Star Spangled Banner, it's already over, man. Like, you know, the Mets got their butts handed to them. They didn't score any runs off Darvish, which is no surprise there. Darvish is one of the best pitchers in the game. You know, they got their butts handed to them game one. You know, all thanks because they didn't take care of business in the last month in September, getting swept by the Cubs. You know, DeGrom having that horrible start against the A's. The Mets getting swept by the Braves, a series that everybody had circled on their calendar for months. You know that this was a big series. We knew that the series, the division was going to go down to it. If you've been listening to this show all year long, you know, me and you, we've been talking about it, that, you know, this series is going to, this division is going to go down to the wire, that series in Atlanta is going to decide the division, and the Mets didn't show up at all. All they had to do was win one game, and this debacle of a loss at the hands of the Padres would have never happened, you know, because they would have won the division. They wouldn't have faced the Padres in that needless round had they won just one stinking game. One more stinking game, they wouldn't have been in that situation. So then game two, they finally redeemed themselves. They finally played Mets baseball. DeGrom pitched well. He went six innings. I think he gave it, two runs or so. Struck out eight, if I'm not mistaken. The Mets finally played Mets baseball. You had Pete Alonso hit his first career postseason home run. You had Francisco Lindor hit his first Met home run in the postseason. And everything was looking good with the Mets. The Mets were finally showing up. You know, congratulations to Jeff McNeil, you know, leading the major leagues in hitting. And as a result, won the National League batting title, becoming the second Met player after Jose Reyes to win that, the elusive batting title. So congrats to him.
Congrats, Ratatouille.
And, you know, but it all came down. It all came down to, what was it, Sunday night. Sunday night baseball last week. Chips was on the line. 100-win team. You had the three best guys in the rotation in baseball. You had Scherzer, who got his butt handed to him. You had DeGrom riding the ship, winning his first and so far only start in Citi Field as a Met. Lord knows if he'll be back as a Met, because he's going to opt out. You know, he's going to leave the 2 years left on his contract, and, you know, he's going to try to make the most money he can. So we'll find out about that. And then Chris Bassitt, a guy who I've been a fan of his since he put on the Met uniform, won 15 games. However, this last month or so, like Scherzer, they spit the bit. And game three of the most important game season, and the Mets only had one measly hit. The whole game, the whole stinking game, they only can muster one hit by Pete Alonso in the fifth inning to prevent a no-hitter. Give Joe Musgrove all the credit in the world. The guy, he threw the first no-hitter in Padres history a year ago. You know, the guy's a very good pitcher. You got to give him all the credit. But for them to just stink up the joint and only give up one hit, this was literally the worst performance by a team who got eliminated in Major League history. The only way they could have been worse is if they got no hit or perfect game. That's how bad it was. And then you look at the other side of the ball. Bassitt couldn't even last three or four innings. Got his butt handed to them by the Padres. Like, the same guy who he said in his first start in April that it doesn't matter who you're facing, you know, the name on the back of the jersey, he's here to pound the opposition, all that stuff. And the same guy who he struck out in April is the same guy's team, new team, when he got traded to Padres. And they beat us. And then here's the controversy. The controversy of, you know, Buck Showalter, you know, arguing with the umpires to check to see if Joe Musgrove was cheating because they noticed his ear was shiny. You know, they thought he maybe had something, you know, in his ears that he was going to the ball or something like that. And, you know, the umpires checked and they didn't see nothing. And then, of course, that infuriated Musgrove. You know, he was taunting the Mets. You know, the Padres was taunting us like, I mean, us losing 4-0 already wasn't enough. So then this started this whole controversy of, oh, you know, Buck shouldn't have said nothing. This make them look petty, which, okay, I understand that. But let's say for argument's sake, let's say he was cheating. Were we supposed to, like, not let him check and just get our butts handed to us? Look at an 86, you know, the Astros, you know, the team that McCauley's team can't beat, you know, when their life depends on it. When we faced the Astros, they had Mike Scott, a former Met. This guy legitimately was cheating. He scuffed the ball every time. When they showed the umpires that he messed with the ball, they didn't care, even though they had all the evidence to prove it. So that's why they won Game 6 to advance to the World Series. Because if they would have played Game 7 that year, they would have lost to the Astros, and Astros would have went on and faced the Red Sox that year in 86. Another team McCauley loves. But despite that, let's fast forward to right back here, 2022. So my thinking is, hey, it doesn't matter if Joe Musgrove is upset at us, because at the end of the day, we were getting one hit. What was gonna happen? He was gonna one hit us more? Like, it really doesn't matter. The bottom line is that the Mets did nothing. They didn't show up offensively. Bassett didn't pitch well that game. And what I'm even more upset about, more so than, you know, than you know, us being quote unquote embarrassed by trying to show up Musgrove, you know, dominating us, is the fact that Buck Showalter brought in Edwin Diaz when we were losing 4-0. He brings in Edwin Diaz, hence the trumpet, the narco song came up. They did the whole theatrics as if we were leading 4-0 and he was coming to save the game, which, I mean, obviously 4-0 wouldn't be a safe situation anyway, but that, and then you had the Padres mock us, the Padre fans mock us because I can't even find the words. That was, and you, no disrespect, Buck Showalter, I'm happy he's the manager, but that was a dumb move that he did. Bring in Edwin Diaz, because, you know, historically as a closer, and that fits for Diaz also, with the exception of this year. You bring a closer in a non-safe situation, they're going to get lit up like a Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center. There's no reason to bring a closer in a non-safe situation, much less when you're losing 4-0 in a pivotal game. For argument's sake, we would have came back. You could have brought him in a situation to hold the game. But to hold us losing 4-0 is a waste. Was a waste of his abilities. And sure enough, Soto, the aforementioned Juan Soto, gets a 2-run hit off us, demoralizing us. Our closer, who's now going to be a free agent. So to wrap up everything, how I'm feeling, you know, we had a great regular season, 101 wins, but you could flush everything down the toilet. The Edwin Diaz best career, you know, ever. Lindor had a bounce back year, one of his best years ever, you know, easily his best year as a Met, maybe his best year ever in the uniform. I know he hit 38 home runs with the Indians, now Guardians, you know, a few years ago. But you had a great year from Lindor. You had a potential MVP year from Lindor. Alonso, Diaz, and you flush it all down the toilet. You had a great, 15 wins from Carrasco and Bassett and Taiwan Walker. He won, I think, what, 12 games, but, you know, 2 years in a row, he had a horrible second half, not as bad as last year's one. But all that wonderful stuff that the Mets had, winning 101 games, which I didn't even know the Mets never even won 100 games during, as you know, since I've been a fan since 99. I didn't even know, I never witnessed a 100 win team. And sure enough, this is what this team gives us. So all that good stuff that we, all that good feel-good stuff is flushed down the toilet. Now we have to wait until to see what they're going to do once this World Series is over, once next month, when we can see what will happen with this team. Are the Mets moving in the right direction? Yes, but now we have a bunch of free agents. Everybody's are going to be free agents, so now we have to see what's going on. So, you know, what can I say, man? I'm still PO'd about what happened last Sunday, man. But you know, let's give the people what they want. Let's give a Met hater a chance to express his glee.
I'm not a Met hater. I don't hate the Mets as much as Mets fans hate the Yankees. You know, I'm just a realist. I'm gonna tell you how it is.
Okay, tell us how it really is.
This was an embarrassment. I mean, on so many levels. First, you got a team that won 100 games, and you guys didn't even win your division, you know, and you didn't even make it to the division series. That is an embarrassment itself. Second, you got two of your biggest pitchers, DeGrom and Scherzer. Scherzer, who you spent money on this off season to pitch in these type of games. Twice he failed. Failed against Braves in that three-game series, and he failed against the Padres in his wild card round. I mean, that's two strikes, you're out for him, right? He didn't even get the three strikes, you're out. He got the two strikes only, and he was out. But this was an embarrassment on so many levels, man. You failed to get the job done against the Braves. I mean, you had to at least win one game, and we were there during that Braves series at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep, I remember.
Watching, like, what was it, game one? That first game?
It was game one, yep, correct. Game
you
one.
Know, game one, they couldn't win that game, and they couldn't win their main two games in that series. If they had won one game, then they'd probably win the division and go on to not even, like, face the Padres in that wild card round, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just embarrassment. I mean, you guys had a 10.5 game lead and on the Braves on June 1st, which was like one of the biggest leads, I think, in National League history at the time. And, the Braves, yeah, they were hot. Second half of the season, they completely turned it around. And they got their asses handed to them by the Phillies.
Oh, yeah. That was beautiful. Thing of beauty.
The Mets collapse, plain and simple. Mm-hmm. You just collapse. And, you know, the Yankees about to do the same thing if they don't win tomorrow. So we might be joining you guys as well. But it was an embarrassment. It's been an embarrassment, you know. And both New York teams, if Yankees go out, this was a disaster season. Because you led your divisions for most of the year, 100 games. And then to go out like that, I mean, it's sickening. Sickening. I don't know what else to say, man.
I mean, you're 100% right. I mean, we won 101 games. You had the Grom and Scherzer not pitched to the level that they are. You know, these guys, I mean, obviously, you know, Scherzer, he's Cooperstown bound. The Grom, if he could stay healthy, you know, and get some run support, he could be Cooperstown bound as well, you know, with his ERA amongst the lowest among, you know, pitchers, you know, in the history of the game, you know, with his performances, he could be Cooperstown, you know, he could be in the Hall of Fame as well. But Yeah, you hit it right on the head. And then you throw in Bassett. Bassett, yeah, he won 15 games, but these past couple of weeks, he hasn't been pitching up to his level that, you know, we expect of Bassett. So, I mean, this collapse was easily avoidable. But, yeah, I mean, if you want to look at their record, I mean, obviously, they didn't really play that good in September. I mean, the last couple of weeks. I mean, if you want to look at the second half wasn't that bad. I think they were probably playing 600 ball, which should have been good enough. Obviously, they won 101 games. But the Braves, man, they were superhuman, man. They were playing like at least 700 ball. Like they were like Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, and Jason Voorhees combined, man. That 2 years in a row, the Mets had the division most of the year, and 2 years in a row, the Braves came out of nowhere and win the division, even though they had huge injuries last year to Acuna, and then this year's Albies, and you know they were able to overtake the Mets and win their fifth straight division. Like, this is, you know, it's like the old times with Atlanta, with Chipper Jones and Andrew Jones and Smoltz, Glavin, and Maddox. You know, when they won like what 14 in a row until, you know, a certain team, the Queens, broke their streak in 2006. But yeah, man, the Mets, you know. What can I say, man? The Mets are irrelevant until the World Series is over, and then we shall see. Hopefully, the Mets can re-sign Diaz before the free agency starts, and yeah, we shall see if they will re-sign DeGrom, Nimmo. Yeah, man, they got a lot of work cut out for them, so hopefully.
Do you feel like this season was a waste?
Yes, I do. 100%. 100% feel like the season was a waste. Because everything was centered around them winning a title. Like Buck Showalter said the season recap review, season review, whatever you want to call it. He had like a few days ago. It might have even been yesterday. It was either Thursday or Friday. I can't remember which day it was. He basically said he'd rather have 92 wins and be the last team standing. You know, 101 wins is a great achievement, but, you know, he would rather, you know, have 92 wins and be the last team standing. And that's literally how Mets fans feel. Like, this whole season was built on them potentially winning a title, you know, or at least at the very minimum going deep. We should be right now at the very minimum where the Padres, well, we don't know if the Padres, right now the Dodgers, I think, are leading the Padres 2-0 last time I checked. So we should be where the Phillies are right now. And, you know, hate the Phillies, but after they fired Girardi, your boy, they went on a tear. Thompson really changed the culture of that team. And, you know, as much as I can't stand that team, and, you know, the Mets should have been in that spot where they're in right now. You know, I have to do something that the Philly fans would never do in a million years. You know, I have to congratulate them. You know, they upsetted the Braves, the defending world champions, and, you know, they earned their spot in the NLCS. First time they're going to the NLCS since, I think, 2010. And I think this is the first time they've been in the postseason since 2011. So, you know, they earned their spot. And Dodgers are trying to even up the series, or else they're going to be playing golf with the Mets and potentially the Yankees. And speaking of the Yankees, shifting gears to the Yankees, you know, tell us your thoughts on this series so far going on, as you guys are trailing 2-1 right now.
Yeah, well, tonight it looked like we were about to win this series. The Judge hit their home run, tied the game at 2-2. Then we had Cabrera hit a two-run home run to put us up 4-2. I think then who else hit a home run? Bader had a home run to put us up 5-2. Then Guardians cut it to 5-3. And then bottom of the ninth there, you know, with no closer and a thin bullpen, you know, we loaded the bases with one out. They scored a run. And then we gave up a bloop single there and two more runs scored, and we end up losing the game 6-5. So now we're down 2-1. And tomorrow, like you said, if we don't win, we go home, we join the Mets. And we certainly don't want to do that because it's too early. So got the Gerrit Cole on the mound. You know, Gerrit Cole, as much criticism as he gets, he's been money for us in the postseason so far, with the exception of that Red Sox wild card game last year. You know, he's pitched, he has pitched real well in the postseason. You know, in the first game against these same Guardians, he had a good game there. So hopefully he can have a good game tomorrow and we can stay alive and bring this series back to the Bronx and win this thing. Because, again, I want to face the Astros so bad, who advanced tonight in an 18-inning game against the Mariners. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting tomorrow. So Yankee fans, cross your fingers and hope that we can win tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, you should be happy. The Astros swept the Mariners. So
yeah, Mariners
now you
no
potentially
chance.
Have. Now you potentially have a chance to maybe face them if you can get past the Indians, as I assume you guys will.
Guardians.
I'm sorry.
I keep thinking of
the Indians.
We'll see. Well, we'll see. I mean, right now we got to focus on these Guardians and then, you know, consider the Astros. But right now we're facing elimination, so we got to focus on these Guardians first before anything. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. You know, hopefully we can stay alive.
Let's see if the Guardians can guard their 2-1 lead when they face the Yankees tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. We'll see. Damn, make it sound looking fine. Sorry.
Are you watching?
I said that out loud. Yeah, I was just thinking if you get a SNL.
Oh. But, yeah, man, we shall see what happens with that. And let me see what's going on with the they're still leading 2-0 apparently. Top fifth. We'll keep you posted if game ends before the show. But shifting gears. Let's talk your Giants, man. They're hosting the Ravens. They're 4-1. You know, they're living the good life. You know, they got that huge win against the I think it was the Packers in London on Sunday morning. Man, what's your thoughts on this? You know, your Giants.
Man, it is a good time. It is a fun time to be a Giants fan. They are playing inspired football right now. That win last week against the Packers in London, that might be the best win of the season. Best win of the season. And every time we go to London, we win. We're like 3-0 now in London. We should make that our official stadium.
Mm-hmm.
They play great defense. They put pressure on the Packers all four quarters, kept blitzing, putting pressure on Rodgers. The Packers' offense couldn't really get going that much, especially in the second half there. Giants just came back, and, it was a great performance. It reminded me of, like, an old-school Giants game, you know, back from, like, the 90s. So, I'm pumped up about these Giants, man. I mean, they still got a lot of work to do. You know, offense needs to work on some things, but I'm feeling confident, man. We're 4-1. We're tied with the Cowboys right now. And Eagles are leading the division at 5-0. They're undefeated. So NFC East is looking like the beast of the NFL right now. You got three teams that could potentially go to the playoffs. So this next matchup against the Ravens is going to be a tough one, but I think the Giants can pull it off. I think the Giants can win this one. They're looking good, man. They just got to keep playing this way. Defense has been playing very good. Got to keep blitzing, putting pressure on the quarterback. Offense needs to get better. You know, let's go G-Men.
And the G-Men are hoping to build on their 27-22 loss. And
win.
I mean, win, I should say.
Yeah.
I should say, yeah. I mean, I know it's a win because they're 4-1. They're trying, like I said earlier, they're trying to extend their winning streak. That's what I said. But, yeah, you're right. A win.
Yeah.
And now the whatchamacallit, the Packers, they're trying to rebound from the Giants loss, and now they're going to face the other team in New York, Gangrene. They're going to be hosting you know, the Jets yet again. Or I should say they're going to be hosting the Jets this time. They failed at hosting the Jets when they were in the Giants when they were in London. Now the Jets are going to visit the Packers and build on that that impressive win they had this past week when they won 40-17. This was clearly their best win. This, you know, they bounced back from I'm saying like they this was like their best win since the Browns game they had earlier this year when they came back and scored like 14 unanswered points against the Browns to win 31-30 in less than 2 minutes left in the game. But yeah, but this one was pure dominance because, you know, they went against their old rival Dolphins. Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater, he got sacked for a safety. And, yeah, it was just pure domination by the Jets that game. Yeah, they won that score 40-17. This was their first win against a division team. I think, was it 2019 maybe, I think? But, yeah, they just destroyed Dolphins. And, yeah, props to Zach Wilson. He went 14 for 21 for 210 yards. Bryce Hall, you know, he was just destroying them with the 97 yards, scored a touchdown. Michael Carter scored two touchdowns as well. And, yeah, even Zach Wilson scored as well. So, and Breece Hall also, you know, received for 100 yards. So, yeah, man, the young guys were dominating, man. It was a beautiful thing to see.
Breece Hall is on my fantasy team.
Yeah, and he's played
well so far. I like him. I like his game.
Yeah.
He had a good game there. And, rushing and some receiving yards. Yeah, him and Wilson, they're going to be nice talent for the Jets. They're going to be good going forward.
Yeah, and they're young too. That's the beautiful thing about it. These young guys are going to develop with each other. You know, they're young and explosive. So, you know, hopefully they could bring it to the to the Packers, that Aaron Rodgers gets swept by both New York teams. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Hopefully the Jets will bring it. And yeah, shifting gears to, you know, to a team we both love, and that's the New York Knicks. You know, they're gonna be opening their season Wednesday night. I mean, yes, it's preseason. You know, they've been playing well in preseason. I think they only lost one game. But the most important thing is that they look like they're sharing the ball. Randall lost weight. It looks like they're sharing the ball. They're playing up tempo, and Brunson looks like he's the X factor for the team. You know. Like they look like they look like they bought in Brunson, he's going to watch the Eagle and the Cowboy game, you know, because Brunson's a Eagle fan. And, of course, Randall, the Texas native, he's a Cowboy fan, and they're going to watch the game together. So, apparently, Brunson is really taking the leadership role seriously. Like, once he signed with them, he had a big dinner with all of them. And, you know, it's good to see that the Knicks, you know, they're trying to improve, kind of like Barrett was saying. You know, he thinks they're going to shock the world. Let's hope that he's right. You know, the odds are against them. But most importantly, it looks like they're all bought into the system. They're playing, you know, they're passing the ball. And, you know, hopefully this will improve their defense, you know, on the other side of the ball. So what's your expectations for this upcoming season? Obviously, we know we're not going to win a title, but what's your thoughts? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? You hear me? I was saying that. Yeah, I hear you now. I was saying that I hope the Knicks can do well this year, much better than they did last year. And I am not a delusional Knicks fan, so I'm not going to guarantee that they make it to the finals. But we're always optimistic. We hope they can get far if they make it to the playoffs. But I'm pumped up. You know, I like Brunson from what I've seen in the highlights so far. He looks like he could be a good fit in the system under Thibodeau. And he looks like he can lead. And he's probably our best scoring point guard in the long time that we've had, probably since he rose a couple of seasons ago. So I'm curious to see how this season goes, you know, with Brunson and Cam Reddish coming off the bench now that he's healthy, you know, hoping to see a much better product there out there on the floor than we did last year. Because last year there are certain times during the season where this team looked out of sync, you know, there's certain times where they have defensive lapses where they missed shots or they didn't know what they were doing out on the floor. So hopefully you won't have too many of that this year under the guidance of Thibodeau and the leadership of Brunson. But, you know, I like what I see so far. In the preseason, they finished 3-1. I know it's just exhibition, doesn't mean much, but hopefully that translates over to the regular season. And hopefully we get to see a much better team this year. And maybe even the playoffs, but we'll see. You know, we'll see what this season brings.
Yeah, and plus Brunson, he's not only going to be playing with Thibodeau coaching him, but even his dad Rick is there, and he better hope Brunson isn't Haitian or Caribbean, or else he's going to get a baton.
Yeah,
but also, the Knicks, you know, they're young. You know, they look like they're, like I said, they're committed to passing the ball, trying to run up the floor. You know, they were one of the slowest teams, even though they were one of the youngest teams in the game. And probably Rose is probably the only, you know, like older veteran that's over 30 on the team, you know. I think the team's going to be a lot better. But obviously, I'm not saying they're going to be a top four team like they were 2 years ago. But, I think they have the potential to make the play-in or playoffs, the lower end of the playoffs. But we shall see. You know, we haven't played the games yet. We thought they'd be a playoff team last year too, you know, but obviously that didn't happen. So, you know, we shall see. You know, I think Brunson will be the X factor, and let's see if Thibodeau will play the young guys, the especially the young guys like Toppin and Quickly, you know, if they'll play more minutes. You know, I like the additions of Harkenstein. You know, a big man, you know, off the bench, center who could knock down some threes. you know, Toppin, you know, that high flyer, trying to improve on his three-point shooting, you know, quickly, you know, that guy has the potential, you know, to be a triple-double guy, like he did a couple of games last year. Yeah, let's see what those young guys can do. Sims, if he could stay healthy. Grimes, hopefully those guys could play more minutes. You know, we know Fournier, he knocked down the most threes, you know, in Knicks history in the season last year. Hopefully he can play better. Randall, you know, he could stay committed, you know, as he appears to be in this preseason. Barrett continues to take that maturation, which I think you heard it here first. I think he's going to be all-star this year. You know, Brunson, I think Brunson might be an all-star with the Knicks this year also. And then you got Mitchell Robinson, you know, who could be that Lob City, you know, with Brunson. So, yeah, we'll definitely see what the Knicks are going to do this upcoming year. And then the other team in New York, you know, you got the Nets. They're gonna have the big three. You know, Ben Simmons looked like he's healthy now, and he wants to return to the basketball court. You know, and form the big three that we expected to see last year. So yeah, we'll see what happens with that if Durant and Kyrie can stay healthy and stay committed to, you know, playing with the Nets and their championship-less streak. What's your thoughts on the Nets?
I don't care much for the Nets, but I think they can be a very good team with Simmons and Kyrie and Durant, you know, those three. As long as Simmons is able to stay healthy, you know, they have a guy who could play defense, who could handle the ball, take some pressure off these, off of Durant and Irving. They can be a very good team, just like they were last year. And they could possibly be the best team in the East. So, you know, we'll see how they gel on the floor together and build that chemistry. It's something to watch, you know, during the season, see how that chemistry develops between those three guys. But I think they could be a good team, a very good team.
Yeah. And Knicks, they're going to be on the road against the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Nets will host the New Orleans Pelicans. Other marquee matchups this upcoming week is Tuesday night. You got Celtics hosting 76ers, and then you got the Warriors hosting the Lakers. So those are also two big matchups right there. I would assume Celtics and the Warriors will defend their home court against their respective opponents. Celtics will defeat the 76ers, and the Warriors, the defending world champion Warriors, will defeat the Lakers on Tuesday night. So yeah, definitely must see games this upcoming week. But shifting gears, man. Let's talk about WWE, and of course, you know, the big news in WWE was Brock Lesnar actually returned Monday night, and he destroyed Bobby Lashley. And then as a result, Bobby Lashley would would fail to defend his United States title against Seth freaking Rollins, and now Seth freaking Rollins is now the new United States champion now. What was your thoughts when you saw Brock Lesnar popped up and just destroyed Bobby Lashley?
I was surprised by that they're reigniting that feud between them from earlier this year. But, yeah, that's going to be something worth seeing, because the last time they fought, Lashley ended up beating Lesnar, although it was with some assistance from who interfered again? I'm forgetting now.
I'm trying to remember, too.
Was it MVP that interfered, or?
Yeah. It was MVP. MVP hit him with his cane.
Right. So hopefully it'll be a clean match this time where there's no interference.
And then if you remember the last match they've been in together was that Elimination Chamber match.
Oh, the Elimination Chamber, right.
Where Bobby Lashley got injured. And he got eliminated, but Brock Lesnar eventually won that match without pinning him.
Right.
Because isn't Bobby Lashley, like, I think 2-0 against him, but then he lost that match in the Elimination Chamber where he didn't get pinned, I think? I think that was the case.
Yes.
So it's technically Bobby Lashley leads his feud with Brock Lesnar 2-1, even though he didn't get pinned in that.
What's the one loss?
The one loss would be when Brock Lesnar won the title in the Elimination Chamber, because Bobby Lashley got eliminated because he got injured, but Brock Lesnar ended up.
But it wasn't against him, though.
Yes, it was against him, because it was six men in there? Remember when
got eliminated before that?
Yeah, but it's pinned, the same match.
But I don't even count that.
It's the same match.
It doesn't matter. He wasn't pinned by Lesnar.
It does count. The same exact match.
Okay, then if you got to count that, then I'm not counting that Lesnar win then. That Bobby Lashley win then.
What do you mean?
In the same match.
Is
that what you're saying? You're counting a win and a loss in that same Elimination Chamber?
No. That's not what I'm saying.
So where are you getting the second win from?
Didn't they fight each other three times?
When was the second time?
I'm trying to think. Okay, let me do the math. There was a match where there was a match, I think, the first one they fought against each other, I think, was
Royal Rumble. What? Wasn't it Royal Rumble this year?
Wait, let me do that.
Where are you getting the second one from? I'm trying to figure out.
Wait, I'm trying to remember myself. Give me 1 second. Because the first one they fought was New Year's Day. And what was it, New Year's Evil pay-per-view? I'm trying to remember the name of the pay-per-view. Day one. The day one pay-per-view event.
Okay.
That one was like a five-man match, I think, right? And I think... Wait, I'm trying to remember what the heck happened. Wait, who won that match? Didn't Bobby Lashley win that match?
I have to go back and look.
Darn, I gotta remember now.
So you're counting you're counting that match also, like a 5-minute. Let's talk about how many singles matches they had. What about that? Let's not talk about these gimmicky matches that they've been in. How many single matches have they been in? Just one.
I would assume there was one, and that was when MVP interfered and hit him with the stick.
Yeah, give me these gimmicky matches that you're talking about where they're in, like, Elimination Chamber.
So I think
all
those other matches had, like,
five or six
other people in it.
It shouldn't count. Those shouldn't count, because one-on-one matches, those are legit single matches between the both of them. They haven't had a single match, a one-on-one match, since that early January, since that pay-per-view you're talking about, where Lashley beat Lesnar with the assistance of MVP.
Mm-hmm.
That was a legit singles match.
Well, yes, of course.
So those other matches, I mean, I'm not counting those. Like, there was other people involved. And they didn't even got to pin each other.
I guess they would count as all time with asterisk kind of thing. If you want to look.
I guess.
Kind of like how you count postseason and regular season and career, you know, kind of differently. Career would be all time, you know, all time record. Everything would be counted in. But then you'd also like factor in either if it's postseason or regular season wins, stuff like that. But I see your point. But, yeah, which one you think was the bigger news, you know, in WWE? You know, the Brock Lesnar attacking Bobby Lashley and him losing the U.S. title, or Bray Wyatt finally cutting the promo as himself, you know, thanking the fans and, you know, being himself?
Probably Bray Wyatt cutting that promo and being emotional, being himself. That was the thing that we've seen in WWE in a while. Best thing that we've seen in WWE in a while. You saw the real man behind the Bray Wyatt character talk to the fans and thanking them for supporting him during those times when he was down and out. And yeah, it was a heartfelt promo that he had there. We haven't seen a heartfelt promo like that in a while. Name the last heartfelt promo you've seen like that. I can't think of one.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Roman Reigns as himself, you know,
yeah.
When he had cancer, when he had leukemia.
Yeah.
But then I guess going back even farther would be maybe Mark Henry faking his retirement and putting John Cena in that World's Strongest Slam.
All right, right. Or even going back even further, what's her name? A female wrestler who announced that she's going to have a baby, be out for a while. I forget her name.
Oh, Becky Lynch.
No, not Becky Lynch. The what's her name again? She said she's gonna leave for a while to have a baby.
Let me try.
She was like huge.
Wait, I'm trying.
Was it Karma? No, it wasn't Karma. Was it Karma? Yeah,
no.
It was Karma. It was Karma.
Remember she
was emotional and she had told the fans she was gonna have a baby and the fans were clapping because the week before that she was holding her stomach and crying or something like that.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Remember that?
And I think, unfortunately, she had a miscarriage.
Did she have a miscarriage? Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I think. That's
in real life?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I forgot all about that. But the Becky Lynch thing, yeah, I forgot about that, too. Yeah, that was an emotional moment as well. With her and Asuka.
Asuka.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins, you know, was getting congratulated by Rey Mysterio, and then that's when Seth Rollins blinded Rey Mysterio.
Oh, right.
And then that started that eyeball match that they had eventually.
Something out of like a freaking horror movie.
Mm-hmm. Something they could have only done during this era, you know. The pandemic. Well, technically, you know, the pandemic with no fan era that they had.
Yeah.
The Drew McIntyre era.
Right. What about that moment where Drew McIntyre almost beheaded a fan overseas?
Oh, yeah.
Saudi Arabia.
Well, he was trying to, I think, chop, who was he feeding with? Madcap Moss, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the all-time great feuds in WWE history. But let me see, what else? I'm trying to think what else major happened.
You had AJ Styles reunite with the
Oh yes, with Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson.
You're right.
The OC.
Right.
His former Bullet Club members. The Good Brothers.
The Good Brothers. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Where did I got that from?
Bash Brothers is, McGuire and your former Yankee, Jose Canseco.
Oh, yeah, that's
That was
right.
the nickname of the Oakland A's.
Right. Wasn't that also the name that we took in Colombia? But that's another story.
No. I think you're confusing me for McGuire and Sosa.
That's another story. That's another show.
But, yeah, it was a great moment to see them reunite themselves, because apparently they're still in New Japan wrestling.
Right. Oh, so they're not back?
Well, apparently they are, but apparently they have an agreement.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it gives him his alliance, Pete, against Finn Balor and Judgment Day now. So that's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, because they faked that.
AJ's going to join Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think what else happened. Those were
the major things that really happened. Lesnar returned, AJ Styles. Yeah,
that he was going to retire after he got beat up by his son.
Oh, right. But he worked out a deal with Triple H. Now he's on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm. LA Knight is officially black. You know,
say again?
LA Knight is officially back. You know, he's no longer Max Dupree.
Oh.
Let me see what else. Yeah, I think that's about it. MJF, he cut a promo about, him being a heel, that, you know, he doesn't even want to be a heel, but in order for him to become a champion, he has to be a person that even he hates, to paraphrase what he said. And Jericho is now on this quest to destroy every Ring of Honor member. And now he's going to, champion, because he's the new Ring of Honor champion. So he's going to be facing Dalton Castle in the upcoming Dynamite episode. And yeah, I think that's about it. Anything else you'd like to say before we head out?
Everyone have a great rest of their night. Catch my show, iMac, every Saturdays at 10 p.m. Check your local listings for that, and come back here. Check out Sports Urban Legend every Saturdays at 11, only here on Block Talk Radio. And check out his YouTube channel, which I think right now it might be defunct, I believe. Sports Urban Legend on YouTube, but whenever Will decides to post new episodes on that, check out for that.
Yes, definitely check out that episode, because, you know, Macaulay he's waiting for the next episode. And
for real, man, we're all waiting,
yes,
man. Got to give us an update.
Yes, I definitely have to.
I think the last time you posted was when the Mets signed DeGrom. We signed DeGrom.
I'd have to double check that, but I don't think so. But, you know, yeah, it's been a while, man. I definitely need to get back on that horse.
For real.
You know. But, again, thank you, Matt, for always being on the show, as always. And, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for checking out this episode of Sports Urban Legend. Check out his show, iMac. Check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. And, of course, come back here every Saturday at 11 on Block Talk Radio and check out Sports Urban Legend. So he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace.